Stephen Grootes on SAFM.
All right, this is your moment. What happened to you this week? What for you is the most important story of the week? 086-000-2032. That's the number. Lots of people already on the line. Khojani, Sekhle, Sizwe, Aisha, Lauren, others to come. Let's start with Sekhle on the line from Marikana. Sekhle, hi. You want to talk about Duncan and what happened to him this week?
Thank you, Steve. Two things that I do sympathize with those who call and say Duncan was right. I also do sympathize with the Duncan. On the other hand, I directed the finger pointing to Duncan. I'm worried because it transpired that he was a shop steward, or he's a shop steward. I remember when he called, I think it would, I would say it was early this week, man.
It was Tuesday morning the first time, yeah.
Point one, quickly. One, by so doing, it does not matter that whether it was anger or what. John, there is a standard policy that is applicable in most of the well-established companies. For instance, the employer. You are the company, I'm the employee. First thing, then you put the policy in place, and then that I have to follow the policy. There's procedures, there's rules. And then it does not give me the authority just to say anything on air. One, if the shop steward, if they were dissatisfied, if they had that as a concern, which is part of their right, they would discuss it, challenge the management, it must be discussed. Secondly, they are dissatisfied, they would probe that, they would put the motion to say it must be investigated. Say, up until it is taken to the CNA, up until it is taken to the labor court, then it is only after that, after all of these attempts are failed, then they can go to as a collective. The company, Steve, who is that guy? What's the name of that guy?
Who? The Duncan.
Duncan. He will be very lucky if he returns back. In fact, he's so lucky that he's suspended. Most of the company, because by so doing, one of the charges will be, Duncan, you did put the company to disrepute. And that cannot... I can even understand why some of these software, according to information, they distance themselves and then they say, yeah. It's quite critical. You can... It does not matter. Steve, one of these local mining here, it was 2017, I must assure you, my chief, one of the employees was given the wrong pay slip that was suspected that it was for another white guy. They were in the same plant, in the same shaft, but the salary, it was tripling. But they did not go on air. They discussed it up until the procedure was followed. It was discussed. So it's quite critical.
Yeah.
Duncan is not left to get out of this. He must find himself out because of that. It is not wrong, but the problem to go out and speak bad about your company, that means Steve, Sihle, Martin, do the minor problem. It will be discussed internally. That's why it is so important for each and every company, after they elect the shop, that let them be taken through a critical training.
Yeah.
Because it's quite challenging, particularly different provisions of the labor law.
Sure. Sekhle, you say so many things, and thank you. Sekhle from Marikana, if you're in a situation like Duncan, I would advise you to take what Sekhle says very seriously. I'm not saying don't call us. I'm just saying also, you know, make sure you get your facts straight. Make sure that you've got it all exactly correct, as the lawyer told us a little earlier. Sekhle, thank you. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting issue. We've got a lot of calls on it this morning. Lauren on the line from Etiquini. This issue of bursaries and race. Lauren, hi.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning to you and your listeners. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to share my experience in terms of bursary allocations. I'm actually a parent of a young colored gentleman who has made numerous applications for bursaries and has been overlooked. And the response that we received is deafening silence.
Sorry, say that again, Lauren. The response you received is what?
Deafening silence.
Oh,
which
wow.
obviously results in no response and meaning that his applications are not successful. He has worked very hard in his matric year to get his points for the course that he wanted to study for his tertiary qualifications, and just results in no reward. And when you look at it from an older person's perspective and how it demoralizes the young people, how does this assist in the young people when they are qualified to develop a sense of pride and wanting to give back to this country when they are overlooked on the basis of their race? And he has been in a school where there are students that have been afforded the same level of qualification yet have been considered for bursaries. So his comment to me was, how are those kids disadvantaged and they've been afforded the same level of education that I have been afforded? And I think it's beyond the race issue. It talks more to what are we doing to these young kids to instill and build a sense of pride in the country, wanting to give back and making South Africa a better place. The other thing is that it reinforces the lines of racial biases amongst ourselves, where we should be trying to overcome and start bridging those gaps that define us in terms of racial lines. Now, I can accept and appreciate that South Africa has a vast and a wide variety of diversity in terms of race groups. But it is how we bring those things together by what we do for the young kids. And it is very, very disappointing because we're going to be so proud of our diversity, yet it doesn't represent itself in anything else beyond that. So that's my experience. You know, we encourage them as parents to continuously give back, to continuously help, to remain humble and to do their best. But that alone does not work. It is an entire system that contributes to a better society.
Oh, Lauren, you know, there's so much to think about, because I'm thinking about, maybe for the first time properly, the impact of saying to a young person, you didn't get this because, or you can't get this because, or you can't succeed because. Sure. All right, Lauren, a lot to think about. Thank you. I really appreciate the call. I think adding a lot of value to this conversation, because there's so many different ways of looking at it. I mean, if you say, and I was making the argument earlier, that if you want to have a properly diverse management in a company, you know, maybe you need to sort of have bursaries and specifically say we want these bursaries for this group or that group. But you're also excluding other people. And this is, in a way, is the nature of the problem, right? How do you be inclusive by being excluded? I mean, it's very complicated. It's very, I don't know what the answer is. Maybe you do. Maybe you can help me out here on 086-000-2032. Aisha on the line from Upington, where do you stand on the bursaries issue, Aisha?
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, let me take this from a different angle. I'm a system somebody. I'm a systems thinking human. Let me begin with Duncan, because I think all of our hearts are with Duncan.
Yeah.
I actually called just to ask you two questions, Stephen. Where is the Minister of Labour? He should be attending to Duncan's issues, all of those issues. That's one. Two, on this Coca-Cola thing. It's not just Coca-Cola. Everybody does it, right? Now, logically, you know there's more black Africans in this country. So please don't put it in the ad.
You mean it's going to happen anyway?
It's going to happen anyway. Don't put it in the ad. You're hurting people's feelings. Duh. And then I want to say... right?
You just say duh on the radio, Aisha. I used to say that to my mother. It was always a troll. Duh.
Yes. Where does that fit in the constitution provision of equality? Does that not contravene that? Why is everybody doing it? You all talking about the constitution?
Yeah.
Forget with the program. Yeah. Okay, Stephen.
Aisha, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Interesting way of looking at it, actually. Mabule on the line from Polokwane, you want to talk about the increase in interest rates. 25 basis points was the announcement yesterday, Mabule.
Yes, but before, you know, like everybody, I think our thoughts are with Duncan.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I was in the South Sea at the university. I called on at a local radio station because I was afraid of victimization. I said, I want to be anonymous. But the presenter knew me because I was a regular caller. He said, no, not you, Mabude. You can't be anonymous. But he didn't know the reason for that day. You know? I was so worried about the victimization, you know. So sometimes I think you choose that path because you want to stay the point, but you're worried about the implications after. The issue of the increase on the repo rate, I mean, since 2021, I think has been quite huge. Mm-hmm. I saw one showing on a bond of $1 million. Now the increase is close to 2,000, which is quite a lot.
I don't know if it's quite that much, but it is a lot, yeah.
Yes, yes. In other words, showing the bond per month, the installment per month would have increased from 7 point something to around 9,000 now. Mm. So it's close to 2,000. There's a point that the government stated yesterday, which I've been thinking about it, and I know it makes economic sense, but I don't know if practicality is the case, that of course they want to stabilize the inflation. So they have to choose which one is a better Devon, if you may put that way, between the people that have access to credit, in this case mostly the middle class, and if the inflation was to be higher, it will affect everybody, including the poor. So they have to keep the interest rate higher, in a way, helps the people that are having access to the credit to protect everybody on the inflation side. But then the people, I mean, amongst the borrowers, are also companies that now have to pay higher interest rates. And those interest rates, the higher premiums, they're going to build them back into their pricing.
Yeah.
So, meaning that effect eventually will also find its way in the prices of the goods and services.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Yes, but not in quite the same way, as far as I understand it. I mean, I don't think it has quite the same impact. It's not the same as inflation. The other thing is that we know that it works. I mean, we know it's a blunt instrument, but we know that inflation targeting does work if you do it properly.
But do you get the
effect? No. I do know what you mean. So for companies, so say for example, someone owns a shop. Tell me if I've got this right, Mabule. Someone owns a shop. They own the shop. They're paying a bond on the shop. Now their costs go up. Therefore, they're going to charge you more for the apples that they sell. That's your argument.
Yes. Because most of the businesses, the investment expansions they make, it's through borrowed money. So it is not factually correct for the government to say the borrowing costs, it's only for the middle class, if you get my point.
Yes,
it will find its way to everybody, but you may be right that the effect may be lesser. But it's not true that it's limited to only the people that borrow, because the people that borrow also have an effect into the broader economy.
No, sure. Mabule, I see what you mean. Just to say, and this is my personal view now, but I mean, in Turkey, the president there has been ordering the Reserve Bank to lower interest rates, and their inflation is at around 60%. And can you imagine? 60%.
Yeah. I think it's quite a debatable thing.
Yeah.
For some, they say it would, when you increase the interest rate, somewhere you're also lowering the economic growth.
Yes.
Now the question is, are you more interested in economic growth or more interested in lowering the inflation? And I think that's where the balance is a continuous debate. And certainly, I think one of the key focus, especially building into the summer, is what do we do now, especially with the increase? I think you were complaining about the 0.3% in economic growth.
Sure.
What do we do now?
We saw
that in Richards Bay, they say the load of coal that was being sold last year, it's lower than what was sold in 1993.
Yeah.
When there's a huge demand in the world. I think for me, that's very sad, and it should be the key focus on how do we improve Transnet to actually benefit from the demand that is out there now.
All right, Mabule and Polokwane, thank you. Now, Mediated Conversation is podcast on the situation around Transnet and Richards Bay. Palani Nkobeha, hi, this bursaries issue, Palani.
Yes, thanks, Stephen, for taking my call. I'd like to comment about bursaries because my role involves distributing bursaries.
Oh, wow.
You know, because the lady, I can understand where she's coming from. However, whenever the company has got a pool to distribute for bursaries, then we always have to look at the country's EAP, which means that then if maybe the company, or maybe like in Gqeberha, we've got a lot of colored people. So our colored, the money that we have to distribute to colored, it's always maxed. And we always fall short on Indians. Therefore, maybe the son is very unlucky. By the time he's applying, then we've already maxed on the colored. Therefore, we cannot afford to not gain triple BEE points on that amount. Mm. So whatever we do, I mean, the company needs to have a good triple BEE level. Mm. So that bursary also contributes to that. So I hope,
But Lali, that's so interesting. So someone could game the system, you know, I kind of almost too scared to give an example, but I mean, people could move around to game the system. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. I mean, we shouldn't have a system to be gamed like that either, to be played with.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
So what I'm saying is that when you have a system and people try and mess around to get a better outcome for the system, it has perverse results. You have people who change where they live, or they change an address on a form because they think they'll get a different result.
But it doesn't help either.
No.
Well, it doesn't help because, yeah. I mean, if you colored, you colored.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It must be very difficult to decide who gets bursaries, Palani. I mean,
it's very. My heart always bleeds if I have to reject someone because of their. I mean, seeing their circumstances and also having gone to the interview, but because they are better, you find better candidates who fit the profile, and unfortunately they don't. But yeah, it's a question. It's a situation. We'd love to help everyone, but unfortunately, there are targets that we have to meet as well.
Palani, thank you. Thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. Palani Nqeberha. Interesting sort of thing, insight into it, you know, that in certain areas, you know, you might find that because people have sort of categories and things they need to fill, that in some places they're filled earlier. And I mean, you know, it's very, very difficult. You know, and that's why the conversation's so rich, because there's so many different views on it. 086-000-2032, Khojani, Sizwe, Percy Sledge. We'll try and get to you all before 9 o'clock. Still time if you want to squeeze in a call yourself on 086-000-2032.
Stephen Groetes on SAFM.
All right, what happened to you this week? Sledge on the line from Tswane. Hi, for you, gun killings in KwaZulu-Natal. Go for it, Sledge. Oh, Sledge, lots of feedback there. Sledge, you're going to have to switch your radio off. We'll come back to you in a moment. Let's go to Percy and Matlosana. Percy, hi, land reform.
Hey, how are you? How are you, Mr. Stephen?
Thank you, Percy. My ears are ringing a little bit, but I'm fine. Go for it.
Hey, Mr. Stephen, man, we are a trust owner. We are a trust owner in Northwestern, in Makok's Crown. We've got the serious challenges, man. The land reform failing us, man. And all the trust, when you check here in Northwest, 97% of them, they are not generating.
So the problem is that the land isn't generating money. Is that what you mean?
Since we received that land from this thing of 1915 Act, we claimed this land. We didn't do nothing with that land. We don't have water, we don't have fence, but if we check those reports, speak about millions of millions that we don't know where did they go. Because if we try to reach the MEC of land reform, we keep hiding for us. We don't reach him. We don't know what's going on. Because of when I check, when I'm sitting on top of the bed with those reports, I'm a new chairperson. When I check, they say our grant was 900,144,000. But when I'm going to other report again from the trust, they bought us a tractor that was 600,000.
They owe you money, Percy.
They own us land. Even there is no development in land, but money disappears. There was a development of chicken structure of 60 million. It's just the ground. There is nothing machinery, just the ground, but the money disappears. When we try to reach department, because of the one who bring those campaign to make development for us, it disappears with money. They don't want to contact with us, nothing. We are the landless as we speak. We have the title deed from us, but there is nothing that we generate in land. MNC of land reform, we can't reach him. We keep hiding.
And it's ANC, hey?
Yeah, ANC failed us. Even the land commissioner, he sent me this report. When I check report, they say our grant is 900,100, almost 1 million. But there is a report of 2.9 million. Sure. When I check the tractor, the bike, if what range is 325,000, the generator that they bought from us is almost 100,000. the fence, it was 47,000, almost 1.something million.
Sure.
There was then the chicken designer for Mugashi.
All right, Percy.
Can you assist us with the MEC of Land Reform, please, Stephen?
All right, Percy, I can't make any promises. Let's see if we are able to do something there. Percy and Matlosana, I think very difficult. Let's see if we are able to do something. I know if I remember correctly, you've been in conversations with people, ministers before about this. All right, Percy, thank you. I'm sorry that we can't help you directly. Let's see if we are able to do something next week. Sledge and Swana, you've switched your radio off. Thank you for that. Gun killings in KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. Go for it.
Good sentiment. Sorry, man. This morning you've interviewed a lady.
Mary De Haas, yeah.
Yes, yes. Talking about crimes and killings in KwaZulu-Natal and all that and other areas. Listen, I've always been advocating the fact that as long as, Stephen, there are no consequences.
Yeah.
Things like these killings will never stop.
Yeah.
Because people, they always get away with that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then look, for example, on the KZN July Andres, people were brandishing rifles. I'm talking about civilians were brandishing rifles going to Nkandla there. And you since then you haven't heard anybody at all. You never saw on TV that those people were tackled by the police because the guns were in open. You know what I mean? So for as long as there's no consequences, we'll never get it right. And also, when the violent crime is reported, let's say at the station level, the only people who attend there are the station police who are not really trained for such crimes. You can hardly hear the intervention or the special task force have been called to tackle that kind of crime because those are the guys that are trained to have situations like that. Yes, we have now the TRT, which at least they are bridging the gap in between. But in most instances, the station police will be attending, and that is where they get shot, some of them, and run back to their vehicles, and the criminals will still get away with it. So this topic is very much close to my heart, and I would really like to liaise with that lady. Mm. Maybe there can be some methodologies that she and I, we can devise just to assist. I'm not saying we're going to eradicate everything completely, but it will also be a good idea to help eradicating this kind of thing.
All right, Sledge. I'm sure you'll be able to find an email address for Mary De Haas at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. I'm sure there'll be one. Let's see if we may be able to help you on that. But I think you raise good points about gun violence generally and the lack of consequences. You see that with audits. You see it with gun violence. You know, what does that tell you? I mean, sometimes there are just no consequences. Benji on the line from Cape Town. Interest rates. Hi, Benji.
Morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm well. Go for it.
Good. There's been a lot of talk around the interest rate hike and how it affects home loan repayments.
Yeah.
I think there's a bigger issue here. We need to teach people how to manage money, basic money management, even financial management, basic money management. Because when the interest rate dropped, a lot of people entered into the property market, not understanding the impact of increase in interest rate and the reason why the interest rate dropped in the first place. If most people think the selling point is if you're paying 10,000 rand rent, for example, towards someone else's property, that same 10,000 could be paying towards your own property. And that's what they sell to most people. But it's more than that. There's a lot of things that is included in owning a property.
Yeah.
Your rate and taxes, interest rate, is it fixed, is it flexible, the whole nine yards. So I think especially with South Africa and the debt level, there needs to be basic money management that needs to be taught at primary school level, for argument's sake. The same way life sciences is compulsory, basic money management should be compulsory.
No,
I think it will help. It will help.
Absolutely. The less debt, the better. Benji, thank you. Khojani and Kroonstad, you've been on hold for a long time. Duncan, go for it. Khojani.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, well, go for it.
I have been holding for a very long time because I am Duncan.
You mean, hold on. You mean you are Duncan?
Duncan, inverted commas. I am Duncan. And there are lots of thousands and
thousands of Duncans
out there who are Duncans. And for me, Duncan has set, his story for me has set an agenda for the working class. We are in January, and Duncan has helped us, you know, by setting an agenda from January and then upwards. The story of Duncan is happening in many municipalities. The story of Duncan is alive, it's truth, and it is there. Now, this is an opportunity for the people who are falling in the same category as Duncan to come out and talk about these issues. Maybe, perhaps, someone will listen, you know, to the voices out there and may possibly even appoint a forensic investigation for these things to be sent out, you know, to be in the open.
Yeah.
So let me tell you what is going to happen to Duncan. I had some people saying you must have good facts, truth, you must do some fact-finding. When you talk about these issues, you must have things that are true and have got a proof.
Yeah.
Steve, it doesn't matter even if you have got a proof or not. Things are there. They're taking place and they're happening. And let me tell you, even if you try internally where you work, even if they will never assist you. They will keep as if nothing is happening.
Sure.
Let me tell you, Duncan is going to be fired because of speaking the truth. And Duncan will as a way not to correct the behavior, but to punish him.
Yeah.
To send a message out there. That is what is going to happen to him.
All right, Khojani, I'm afraid I do need to leave it there, but I think we have heard you, but I hear you very powerfully talking about, you know, being Duncan as well. Khojani, thank you. We unfortunately have to go. Oliver is next. We will see you on Monday. Have a good weekend. From Zemo Banyana, Mdu Stanza, myself, look after yourself. You're with SFM leading the conversation. It's 9 o'clock.